Happy Sunday. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, we'll be reading from the Holy Bible, as well as a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And we are excited to have you all join us today, as we do every Sunday as we begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the source of all goodness. You are the source of all life in this world. And we thank you. We thank you so very much for the beautiful creation that surrounds us. We thank you for our families and loved ones. We thank you for the North Carolina Reading Service and its volunteers and donors to allow programs like this to be put on the web or put in the airwaves. And Lord, we are so appreciative of the many blessings that each of the members of our audience has, that I have, that we all have. Father, we ask you to please watch over us with your love and care, and we thank you so very much, and most of all, for loving us enough to give us your Son, Jesus, that our faith in him may provide us with the grace and salvation promised in order for us to have that relationship with you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Sarah Young teaches us today that she writes, "Trust me and don't be afraid. I want you to view trials as exercises designed to develop your trust muscles. You live in the midst of fierce spiritual battles, and fear is one of Satan's favorite weapons. When you start to feel afraid, affirm your trust in me. Speak out loud if circumstances permit. Resist the devil in my name, and he will slink away from you. Refresh yourself in my holy presence. Speak or sing praises to me, and my face will shine radiantly upon you. Remember that there is no condemnation for those who belong to me. You have been judged not guilty for all eternity. Trust me, and don't be afraid, for I am your strength, I am your song, I am your salvation." And there's three scriptures that help support Sarah's writing today. First is from chapter 4, verse 7, and it reads, "Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Romans 8, verses 1 through 2, "Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death." And then Isaiah 12, verse 2, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation." Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for those beautiful words of encouragement. Well, we last couple weeks we've gotten into the Gospel of Matthew, and last week we concluded with chapter 9. We read chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. And in those chapters, a small summary was we learned many things. Jesus was teaching us throughout those entire readings. In chapter 6, verse 1, he said, "Do not do acts of righteousness before men, but do them in private. Do them behind closed doors. And that way God knows you're doing it for him, not for yourself in front of others." In 6:9, chapter 6, verse 9, he taught us how to pray. And he prayed the Our Father for the first time and taught us how to pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." In 6:19, he taught us not to store up treasures on earth where they can rust and be stolen and go away, but store up treasures in heaven that can't be taken away. In chapter 7, "Do not judge others, as we ourselves too will be judged." And then he performed many miracles. In chapter 8 and chapter 9, he performed miracles. In chapter 8, he healed the centurion's servant centurion's servant. And in fact, his comment was, I have not seen faith like this before. And the centurion, if you recall, didn't feel that he was worthy to have Jesus come under his roof. And that faith, in that faith, God or Jesus healed his servant and at that very moment. And then he also, Jesus healed a paralyzed man in chapter 9 and was ridiculed because he didn't say, I heal you. What he said is, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the chief priests and the scholars yelled, blasphemy, blasphemy. How can he do this? And, of course, he could do this because he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. And he came to forgive us our sins, and he came to heal us. And when I say healing, it's not just the physical healing, it's more the spiritual healing. And that's the promise, is spiritual healing. So we pick up with chapter 10 today, and I'm excited to bring this to you. Please sit back, enjoy, and just kind of take a couple deep breaths and enjoy God's word. He called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. And, of course, that is who's writing these words. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not take along any gold or silver or copper in your belts. Take no bag for your journey or extra tunic or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for you, it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of the Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sent me. Anyone who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And anyone who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of the little, And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Chapter 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you see when you go out into the desert? What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it was written." And this is a quote from Malachi, a prophecy from Malachi. "I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets of the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who is to come. He who has ears, let him hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like the children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say he is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by their actions." Then Jesus began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles had been performed. "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! The miracles that were performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, you will be lifted up into the skies. No, you will go down into the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Chapter 12. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and ate them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Jesus answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent? I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words meant, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." That's a really interesting Bible verse. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. That is a really good summary of what God expects from us. He desires us to have pure, loving, kind hearts. He doesn't want us to go through rituals. That the rituals just become almost robotic. But what comes from the heart, what is truly heartfelt, is what he desires. And every time you do something that's heartfelt, that is fresh, that is new, that is a symbol or a sign of worship and praise to him. That's what he desires. He desires your mercy towards others, not your sacrifice. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, they asked him, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. And it reads, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets." A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him, so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the Son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. But I will drive out demons by the Spirit of God. Then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or again, how can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man? Then he can rob his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, either this age or in the age to come. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, and make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by our words we are acquitted, and by our words we will be condemned. That's a beautiful verse and a great reminder for us never to really be negative in our speaking to others. I was reading earlier today James 4:7, and I know I won't quote it very well, but James 4:7, if you could look it up or have someone read it to you. But it's, you know, it tells us about how powerful words really, really, really are towards others. And really, really important. I wish as a younger man, and even today, I wish I was better at that. And before I speak, I should have a little short prayer to the Holy Spirit, asking him for his guidance and support before speaking in every situation. Chapter 12, verse 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." Here's an editorial. What have they been witnessing, I wonder? He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. That is how it will be for this wicked generation." While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Chapter 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will hear, but you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will ever be seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word at once, and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. It's a great reflection point here, and kind of asking ourselves, are we receiving the seed on the path? Are we receiving the seed that falls on rocky places? Are we the one receiving the seed that falls among the thorns, or are we the one receiving the seed on good soil? So path, rocky soil, thorns, or good soil. Where are you right now? I've seen myself in all four of those soil situations or examples. There have been times it's been the path. There have been times it's been very rocky. There's been times it's been thorns. I've been choked out by the worldly things. And there are times it's good soil. And when it's good soil, I find that's when I'm most at peace and most pleased with my relationship with God. Jesus told them another parable. You know what? We're going to pick up this next week. We're almost out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Please be sure to listen to us next weekend. We hope you've enjoyed the program. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of our program is intended for a blind and print impaired audience. If you have any comments or questions, please let us know. Give us a call at 919-832-5138. Again, that's 919-832-5138. May God bless you and those you love this day and every day.